Well, I would like to tell you how smart and intelligent I am, but that wouldn't necessarily be true. My wife proofreads my PowerPoints for me because she's just better at doing that than I am. And sometimes when you work on something, you know, you just become sort of oblivious to what it has spelled out or what is being said. So she knows what my messages are going to be about before we ever get here on Sunday morning. And so today, if you notice, the Advent service was centered around joy. Guess what my message is centered around? She said, "Did you know that today was the Advent was on joy?" And I looked at her and I smiled. I said, "No." But it is. But listen, welcome home to Voice of Praise Worship Center. We're glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Luke chapter 2. Wednesday night, we even used some of the scripture this past Wednesday night. And speaking of Wednesday night, while you're turning to Luke chapter 2, this coming Wednesday night, we are not going to have our typical Wednesday night service here at the church. We're headed up to Princeton Healthcare Center, and there we are going to do some Christmas caroling for those patients. So we're going to meet here at about, what time did I put? 6:15? We're going to meet here, and then unless you just want to drive directly up there. And at 6:30, Katrina has it all set up, and we're going to sing some Christmas music for those patients. And we also, you'll hear about this later, I'm also pleased to tell you, not only did we do well over 100 coats and 100 toys to send to North Carolina, we have acquired for every single resident of Princeton Healthcare Center, we have acquired a brand new pair of pajamas to give to them for Christmas. And I've got even better news for you. Tonight, I've lost Katrina. Where's Katrina at? I don't see her. She's somewhere. What are you doing way up there? You know, and she is bringing a dozen or so of those residents to our Christmas play tonight. So that is fantastic. She may need a little assistance when they get here to help get them all in. Some of them will be in wheelchairs and what have you, but we are excited about the Christmas play tonight. Luke chapter 2. I want us to go down to verse number 6. And we're going to read through the 12th verse. Very familiar verses of scripture this time of year. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel of the Lord said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ." Anybody know what Christ means? The Anointed One. Who is Christ? The Anointed One, the Lord. "And this will be the sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I want to preach to you for the next few minutes about true joy found in Jesus. There's some things in this world that are common pursuits among people. Things such as health, wealth, happiness, and of course, joy. The pursuit of happiness and joy are so sought after that even in the world that we live in, the society that surrounds us, it is depicted that any and everything that's used in advertising will bring us joy. Pay attention. Pay attention. According to marketing, and I happen to like marketing. I have an interest in marketing. Nearly everything is destined to bring you joy. If you watch TV, you listen to the radio, or the pop-up ads on your phone or your iPad, whatever you're using, the tendency is they depict them to bring you joy. This time of year, that big diamond ring is going to bring joy. Okay? A vehicle will bring you joy. Even things that are not healthy for us in the line of alcohol and drugs and things like that. It's even depicted that they will bring us joy. The mattress will bring you a great night's sleep. You will awaken with joy. The finest restaurant and your favorite comfort food is going to bring you joy. It even goes as far as Metamucil, Bengay, and even Preparation H will bring you joy. John didn't amen on Metamucil. I was paying attention there. The fact is, we lack understanding of joy. That's the fact of the matter. We, for the most part, we lack an understanding of joy. Because we equate joy specifically to happiness. And while there is a kinship, happiness and joy are not exactly the same thing. They're not exactly the same thing at all. The thrill of that new vehicle is good until you've made the third payment. You know, we don't get books anymore like you used to. Y'all remember when you used to get those? They'd send you one book, and when you got done with it, in 2 years they'd send you another book. The thrill of that new vehicle wears off when the third payment is made, whether you do it online or however. The flavor of the fine meal is no longer joyful when you've got the upset stomach that has occurred afterwards. The diamond ring no longer brings the thrill once the relationship has been broken off. And the pleasure of the drugs, the alcohol, and all the things that has brought us numbness, after that numbness is worn off, after the buzz is gone, the perceived joy that it brings is also gone. True joy, on the other hand, is not based on circumstance. At least, biblical joy is not based on circumstance. The joy of the Lord can be found contained within 27 different words that are used in the King James Bible. The joy of the Lord is more closely related to another word, a word other than happiness, and that word is actually hope. Happiness is more of a surface circumstance, while joy penetrates deep into the recesses of our soul, because joy is based on hope and not circumstance. Author Max Lucado described joy in this manner. He says, a deep-seated, heartfelt, honest-to-goodness, ballistic, strong sense of joy that can weather the most difficult storms. That is joy. That is true joy. That is the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. When this angel spoke to those shepherds out on the hillsides of Judea, he wasn't announcing some type of perpetual happiness that was based on a circumstance that was to be acquired or even to be had. But what he was prophesying of was a deep-rooted, persevering relationship with Jesus Christ that was going to be enduring and it was going to be lasting in spite of any of the other surrounding circumstance that would arise. Whether you realize this or not, let me tell you, life is not all a bed of roses. It's not all tiptoeing through the tulips. It's not all about life. Even the Christian life is not about everything being good and the warm and fuzzies occurring at every waking moment in life. In fact, when I study the New Testament and I study the apostolic life, I find that the Christian experience oftentimes is interwoven with heartache and disappointment and trials and tribulations. But amidst that, there is still joy to be found, because joy is found in the hope of Jesus Christ and not in the particular circumstance that we may be in at any given time. So joy can be defined as hope amidst adverse circumstances. More than likely, on this Christmas night that we sing about, all was probably not calm and all was probably not bright. I want you to consider the circumstance. We portray in that song and we portray in dramas and we depict that it was a beautifully, peacefully night and everything was lovely. Angels were singing and, you know, everything was just working splendidly. But I want you to understand that the reason that Jesus was born where Jesus was born was because of governmental oppression that was happening. They were going there to be taxed. And Joseph was traveling with Mary, and of course we know the story. Mary is expecting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But the fact of the matter is, they were on their journey not because they weren't going on vacation. They weren't going to seek the greatest medical care that they could get. No, they were traveling. They were en route because of governmental oppression. And I'm sure that made everybody happy, right? Everybody loves to be taxed. Everybody loves to be controlled by government. So a pregnant girl traveling by donkey, what is believed to be some 4 days, and then goes into labor. How happy could you be? How happy could you be? But yet, a prophetic angel declares in the words to the shepherd that there is great joy that's about to occur. Great joy. There was no place, we know the story, there was no place that they could find to stay. Nobody was willing to accommodate them. That's happiness in a nutshell, isn't it? Sarah and I used to have this habit. We would just travel and hunt for a hotel room when we got there, wherever we were going. We were young and dumb. Now we're old and gold, and we've learned that you don't do that. We make reservations in advance. We just we're just gonna go to Pigeon Forge for maybe one night. We'll just find us a room when we get out there, and we waste our first whole day looking for a room. And I'm usually not too happy about that, because I want to go eat at Mel's or somewhere else. So they had no place to stay. They had no common accommodations at all. I'm sure they were very happy about that. But then when you consider, we never talk about this, but there is no record that there was a midwife to deliver this newborn baby. Let me ask you fellas something. Wouldn't that be, if somebody said, what would make you the happiest guy in the world? Well, what would make me happy is to be under governmental oppression and travel by donkey with a pregnant woman for 4 days and then have no room to stay in, and then I have to deliver the baby all by myself when I get there. Boy, that is what I call a vacation. You see, there wasn't really a lot of happiness, probably, in one sense of speaking, in the greater sense of speaking, on this night that we call Christmas night. But the one thing that the angel did say, he said, "Behold, I bring you great tidings, good tidings of great joy. I'm bringing you some news." It wasn't that the circumstance in itself was joyous. It's just joyous that the Savior had come. The joy that the angel spoke about was the hope of salvation that had been spoken by the prophets and was now coming to fruition. It was now coming. Listen, these shepherds had no idea really what was happening. They had no idea what was going on. They just knew this angel was sent from God, and the promise of God that had been promised hundreds of years before was now coming to pass. It wasn't about happiness in a situation. It wasn't about all the stars coming in alignment in their life. It wasn't that they were never going to have to go back out to the sheep, to the sheep fields and ever chase sheep over those desert hills again. It wasn't any of those circumstances, but what it was about joy was going to be found because there was hope in Jesus Christ. They had no understanding how Jesus was going to grow into be a man. They had no idea that 12 years old he would be teaching in the temple. They didn't understand. They didn't know all these things, but they had a hope in the promise of God. And let me tell you this, for you and I, we don't always have happiness. Everything doesn't always go our way. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. A lot of things work and unfold in our life that seemingly are very sad. We're not happy about them. But listen to me. If we have our hope in Jesus Christ, I find that in the scripture that no person can rob me of my joy. I find that no circumstance, unless I allow it too, can rob me of my joy, because my joy is not in my circumstance, but my joy is found in the hope of Jesus Christ. And your joy can be found in the hope of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, some days I'm not happy. I'm just not. Some days I'm not happy. When everything's going wrong, I'm not happy. Have I had any unhappy days lately? She said, "We don't want to talk about that." Last week, 2 weeks ago, we took that senior bus trip. I wasn't too happy when it was 12 degrees above zero and we were supposed to leave at 6 o'clock and the buses still hadn't showed up at 6 o'clock. I wasn't too happy because somebody that worked for the bus company had washed both buses the night before and backed it outside in the 12 degree above zero weather, and all the doors had frozen shut on the bus and we had to wait for them to unthaw. I wasn't too happy. But there's joy that's found in Jesus. I got over it. As soon as the buses pulled up and we got everybody loaded and we go down the road, and especially after we stopped at Cracker Barrel and got something to eat, I was feeling better, you know. Until, what was the next thing that happened? No, our bus trips are very good. But anything we do, anything we go to do in life, there are disappointments, there's heartaches, there's things that we can't control, there's things that happen in life, but I want to tell you what, if you are dependent upon circumstances, situations, and stuff, we are so caught up in stuff, as especially as American people, if we are dependent upon those things to make us happy and to keep us happy, we will find ourselves very unhappy people. Our joy does not come from that. Our joy comes from our relationship in Jesus Christ and understanding who Jesus is. You see, the joy that the angel spoke about, it was not only the hope of salvation, but it was also the announcement of the King. Not any king, but the King of Kings. The Christ, the anointed one of Israel. The Savior had come. They had got the message that they had been waiting on for generation upon generation upon generation. The news had come that the long-awaited promise was occurring. And even though it probably didn't occur, they were more interested in a king coming riding in on a white horse and with a sword in his hand and conquering. But even though it came as a baby in a manger, within that baby in that manger was the anointed one. Within that manger, that was maybe disappointing when they got there to see it, we find out and we know that there is hope, because we see those shepherds as they chant the anointed reign of Jesus Christ. Joy laces the entire gospel of Jesus Christ together. In 1 Peter, Peter is writing to Israel. He's writing to God's chosen, as we say. He was writing to them, and these people, if you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, you find that he's writing to a group of people that probably were not happy. They were scattered. If you read 1 Peter 1, you find that they were scattered in the countries of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They weren't too happy. How would you be happy about being run out of your home? Run out of West Virginia. Had to go to Kentucky or something. How would you like that? They were people that were being persecuted for their faith. They were driven from their homes. They were separated from their families. And they had lost all of their wealth and all of the belongings except what they had on their back. But they still had joy, because their joy was based on their Jesus, on their God. Peter recognizes their joy in the early sentences of this letter, as we go on down to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that you see there that Peter writes, though you have not seen him, you love him. Let me tell y'all something. I have never been to heaven. I have not had a life after death experience. There's people you read about says they've been there 7 or 8 times. I've never been there. If I get there, I don't want to come back, okay? Just let that be known. Okay? I don't put a whole lot of stock in those things. That's what I'm saying. If you do, that's okay. But let me tell you something. I have never seen Jesus. He hasn't appeared before me. I haven't seen him. But let me tell you something. I have great faith in who Jesus is, because I have this book right here. And from cover to cover, somebody said, yeah, but Jesus is just in the New Testament. No, 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 no. You need to go back there and start reading in the beginning when God said, let us create man in our own image. Listen to me. Understand with me this morning that I have never seen Jesus, and neither have these people, because Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Peter's writing to people that's been scattered all over creation. They don't have anything left. They have nothing really to look forward to. They probably have zero happiness. But Peter looks at them and he recognizes them and says, even though you haven't seen Jesus, and even though you don't see him now, I see that you have an indescribable joy in your life for him, because your hope and your faith is based in him. If our hope and our faith is based in anything, Paul, when he brought one of his letters to a conclusion, Paul said this. He said, if in this life only you have hope, you are people that are most miserable. I have a hope in Jesus Christ. I have a hope in a home eternal. I have a hope in a heaven that is everlasting from everlasting. And though my happiness may be affected, my happiness may be inflicted in this earth that we live in, I refuse to let myself be robbed of joy, because I need my joy to be placed in none other than Jesus Christ. So rest assured, these people that Peter wrote to, they probably were not happy. but we do know they had joy. And it was a joy that was evident. It was a joy that could be seen. It was a joy that was displayed because they had faith in Jesus Christ. The pursuit of joy by contingent means is going to result in a handful of different things. The pursuit of joy by contingent means that we're most likely going to experience hurt. If your satisfaction is coming through another person, if your satisfaction is, listen, my wife loves me, don't you, baby? Yes, she does. She does. I love her. But every once in a while, she hurts my feelings. Sometimes I hurt her feelings. Sometimes she just hurts me physically when she beats me up. No, she doesn't. She doesn't do that. She doesn't do that. I'm just kidding. Take that out of the video. Sometimes she asks me if I want her to beat me up, and I say, sure. You know. But when our pursuit of joy is by contingent means, we're going to end up being hurt. We're going to end up suffering disappointment. We're going to end up dealing with anxiety. And we're going to become wrestlers with depression and the like. You see, my joy, my hope is not found in the things that I can acquire. My joy is not found in the places that I can go. My joy is not found in the next relationship that I feel like that I can enter into, because all of those things can lead to disappointment. But true joy that is found in Christ is a persevering joy. I spoke of that a few minutes ago. And I want you to know that persevering joy is, his joy is not contingent on circumstance. God is not dependent upon anything or anyone or anybody else. I want you to realize that. The transcendent God is not dependent on anything. Somebody said, where did God come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He was God in the beginning. He created all things. God is not dependent upon anything else like we are. God is God. And He always will be God. We used to sing that song. He's God up on the platform. He's God out in the pew. He's God in the amen corner. And He's God on me and you. And I know God is God. And He always will be God. You see, and our joy has to come from Him. If it doesn't, we're going to be in a constant pursuit. And not only the constant pursuit, but we're going to be in perpetual disappointment. God is faithful. God is unchanging. The Hebrew writer says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Apostle James, the half-brother of Jesus, said there is no variation and there is no shadow to His turning. You may not be able to depend on me. You may not be able to depend on somebody, your husband or your wife or your kids or somebody else that's real close to you. I will let you down at some point. I will disappoint you. But let me tell you something. You can always depend on God. You can always depend on His presence. Even when you don't feel Him, that song we sing, He's working. Even when you don't see Him, He's working. He is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He never fails and He never lets us down. It's evident that these early disciples beheld Jesus in that manner. That manner that is most pleasing to Him. Their joy was fulfilled by no other means than their faith in Jesus Christ. He was and is their hope. So the trademark of God's people is joy. I don't ask for the entire band, and Pam, if you'll come back, just go back, we'll go back into that last song. The trademark of God's people is joy. You might remember last week I told you that, you know, I've been telling y'all this and I stick to my guns. Eating together is a good spiritual thing. You know, Jesus loved to eat with people. He did. Jesus loved having meals. The apostles loved having meals. I love having meals. But here's the important thing. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 says, and they came and they ate together with joy. With joy. Not joy of just being together. They had joy. They had confidence in their Lord. They had confidence in their God. They knew Jesus. And as you study Scripture, when I think about Paul and Silas in the prison, when you think about the persecution that Peter went through, when you think of John the Baptist being boiled in oil, when you think of all of these patriarchs of old, when you think of all of these men and women of God, there's one thing, there's a trademark among them, and that is even in adversity, they worship, they had joy in their lives. So you and I wish that we had all had that God in that capacity in our lives, just like those shepherds and those early disciples. And even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, we're confident, I've still got joy. My joy is found in Jesus. My hope is found in Jesus. Yeah, that new car, or that Harley Davidson, or that whatever else, that new diamond ring, or that new sewing machine, whatever it may be. Yeah, it brought me joy it brought me happiness for a little while, but it's not going to bring you joy. Joy is only going to be found in Jesus Christ. Sickness nor death can rob us of our joy. Jesus stripped the grave of its victory and He pulled the stinger out of death. And we've all suffered it. We've all experienced it in one capacity to another. But even in the face of death, I am not losing my joy, because my joy comes from Jesus. Betrayal. Many of us have been betrayed by a spouse, friend, or someone that's been close to you, your children. But let me tell you something. Betrayal will not steal your joy if you have put your joy in Jesus, because He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Disappointment attempts to take our joy. But I want you to remember, God has a plan for you. And God's plan is for you to prosper. And I'm not saying like one of these guys on TV, that you don't get a new Escalade or something like that. But God has a plan for you, and He has a plan to bless you and to prosper you. And even in the midst of trials and tribulations and disappointment, there is still joy to be found in Jesus Christ. And lastly, don't allow failure to take your joy. Don't allow failure to take your joy. Is there anybody in this room that's ever failed? The rest of y'all don't have your hands up. You all are being rebellious or lying, one of the two, okay? Every single one of us in this room has failed. We have failed on our jobs. We have failed in different facets of life. We have even failed our God and our Lord. Every single one of us. But I want you to know this. And if you don't find joy in anything else, you should find joy in this. Even in our failures, Jesus is greater than any failure that has come our way. Jesus is greater than any sin. He's greater than any mistake. He's greater than any failure that you and I may or may have not made. And I find great joy in that. I take great joy in knowing that I have a Savior. I find great joy in knowing that my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I find great joy in knowing that no man can pluck me out of His hand. I find great joy in knowing that the Passover Lamb, the greatest of Passover lambs, the perfect Passover Lamb that died once for my sin, and His blood is spread over the doorpost and the lintel of my heart. I find great joy that I have a Savior that I can find security in through and by His shed blood. John chapter 16, Jesus said this. He said, no one will take your joy. No one can take your joy. Don't say, oh yeah, preacher, but you don't know why. No, tell me. Because you done said that Jesus wasn't telling the truth. Jesus said, no man can take your joy. Somebody may mess with your happiness, but no man can take your joy if your joy has been put in Jesus. We're anchored in Jesus. Listen, when you're anchored in Jesus, the old boat may take a beating. It may beat up against the rocks of the shore. It may take a few shots off of the bow of another ship. The old ship may take its beating, but if it is anchored in Jesus, rest assured this, it is not going to sink. You can't go under for going over when you have Jesus. Listen, I read the King James wording of 1 Peter 1 and 8, and this is the way that in the King Jimmy version is worded. Whom having not seen ye love, and through now ye see Him not, even though now through Him you see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I know we never sing. We might sing it someday. Who knows? But y'all, some of y'all old folks like myself, y'all remember that song? There is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Y'all remember that song? Through Jesus Christ and putting our hope and our confidence in Him, there is a joy that will penetrate into the deep recesses of our soul. And even when everything else has gone south on us, we can still rejoice in the Lord. Though, listen, Job understood this joy. He said, though you may slay me, I'm still going to worship you. So pardon my expression, it's not that I don't care, but I really don't care what's going on in any of our lives. If our hope and our confidence is truly in Jesus Christ, my happiness may be interrupted, but I still have my joy. I want you to stand to your feet right now, and I want you to joyfully express yourself before the Lord. You might not be happy right now. You might not be glad right now, but right now rejoice in the joy of the Lord in this place. Lord, we just take the time right now to worship You and to bless You and to praise You. Lord, we count it joy to be with You in suffering. Lord, we count it joy to be with You in pain. Lord, we count it joy, Lord God, Lord, for everything, Lord, that we have experienced for the kingdom of God. And Lord, though our happiness has gotten interrupted, Lord, from time to time, Lord, we still count it joy to have a Savior. We can still count it joy to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, we count it joy, Lord, to know that we know that we know that heaven is before us, and we have the opportunity to dwell with You for eternity, Lord. We worship You today. We bless You today. And we take great joy in knowing You, Lord. We worship You. We bless You. We praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord God, for all of the confidence, all of the hope that we have in You. Lord, Your name, You're an unfailing God. Your name is above every name. We worship You. We bless You today. We worship You, Lord. John, just give me a little bit on the pen. So while we're all in this room standing and we're all worshiping, I've already told y'all, I'm not always happy. Vicky's worked with me, and she's worked with me the last 10 years here at the church. Am I always happy? Some days I wasn't happy, but Madison's only been with me, you know, his ministration for, you know, 6 months or so. I'm not always happy, am I? No. I'm not always happy, you know. I'm just like anybody else. I have my frustrations. But let me tell you something. There is joy that's found in Jesus. That's what I'm trying to convey to you this morning. There's joy that is only found in Jesus. And that is the only source that you're going to find joy and it be lasting and enduring. That doesn't mean you're always going to be happy. I mean, you know, we all have those disappointments and things. Joy found in Jesus. Right now, as everybody's standing across this room, I must ask you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. And I'm just curious if perhaps there is one person in this room today that would identify and say, Pastor, I've never accepted the Lord as my Savior, or a person that would identify and say, Pastor, I have went back on God. I have lost my will. I've lost my desire to worship Him, to serve Him, and I need to come back home. I need to recommit myself to the Lord this morning. Is there one person in this room, or two persons, or three people in this room that would raise your hand, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and say, Pastor, I need to get saved. I need to rededicate my life. I promise you I will not embarrass you. Is there one person, one hand in this room, two hands in this room? Say, Pastor, that's me. Not at all. That's good. That means you're pleased with, you feel like you're pleased with the Lord. You know, I do, most of you all are aware that I do chaplain's work over here at Royal King. I go in and I visit all of them once a day. I want you to look at me right now. I had to go through some chaplain's training to secure that position, if you want to call it that. But let me tell you, in my chaplain's training, there's one key question that they want us to ask. And that's whenever we're in a conversation, the one question that we always ask is, if you were to die right now, where would you be? So I want to ask that question of you tonight, or this morning. If you were to die right now, where would you be? If you don't know, then there's a problem. Pray with you. My wife and I will pray with you. We'll call together a band of people to pray for you, or we can do it privately. But let me ask you that question one more time. If you were to die right now, where would you be? I'm not sure, Pastor. That's not a good answer either. Your hope. Jesus. Well, God says in Jeremiah, he says, I have plans for you, for a hope and a future. Let me tell you, there's a future that goes way beyond this life that we're living now. And the hope of that future is only found in Jesus Christ. That's what will bring us joy. Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. He is worthy of it.